Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, technology can certainly be a wonderful thing, but like anything else, it can also be abused. Old saying of build it and they will come doesn't really apply when it comes to customer loyalty applications. There has to be a purpose. There has to be a benefit to the consumer. Now, some organizations think that the benefit to the consumer is that they can receive whatever the mass marketing offer is on their phone, and that's benefit enough. But this is 2020, and organizations can do a lot better than that. So to talk about how organizations can do better, I have Tom Byrnes, who is the VP of Marketing at LedgerPay, and Raymond Pucci, who is the Director of Merchant Services at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of great insights to take away from today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Tom and Ray, absolute pleasure to have you both on here today's episode. So Tom, I really want to start with you here because I think, you know, that QSR loyalty programs are commonly have certainly come a long way from the old punch card system that some of them still, unfortunately, I think, use today. But what does that landscape look like today from your perspective? And where have they used technology to succeed? And what challenges still really remain in that loyalty space?
Thanks, Ryan. You know, these days, the QSR loyalty landscape is really fragmented, I think, and that's in terms of both technologies and promotional strategies. As you mentioned, you know, I think this all started back in the day with the punch cards, but you take a look at, you know, sort of who's on the floor of a QSR, it's a teenage kid. And those systems were really rife with fraud because kids grab a wad of cards, punch them out, hand them out to their friends, you know. And then they moved to plastic cards. And I think now what we've done is we've brought an entirely new dimension with a shift to mobile apps. But in spite of all that, loyalty, I think, is really a top of mind issue in QSR right now, mostly due to the 800-pound gorilla, which is the COVID pandemic. I think it's had a huge, huge impact on the space. And that's been fragmented as well. If you've got a during lockdown, if you were to take out pizza place, you couldn't hire people fast enough. Other folks were shutting down. And I think that, you know, I saw some recent studies where drive-through purchases at QSRs jumped north of 25%. And even though that increased wait times, you know, McDonald's had, I think in March I saw a stat where they had north of 90% of their business came through drive-throughs. And that's had a huge impact. Fast casuals, which is a space adjacent, has suffered a lot more because they've, you know, had closures or restrictions. So as I was saying, to attract diners, all the big restaurant chains have really dropped the old plastic loyalty card approach, and they've moved to really tech-driven systems to encourage folks to dine out more frequently. And the primary platform here is the mobile app. This makes total sense. You know, everybody's got a phone in their hand. They've got it with them all the time. They're easy to use. Studies have shown that the average mobile user will spend as much as 3 hours a day on an app, you know, and theoretically, and I put that in air quotes, is they provide a lot of customer data that can be used to optimize both their loyalty program and the customer experience. You know, the catch is that I think no matter what form, whether you've got a punch card, a plastic card, or an app, the biggest issue with traditional loyalty programs is they've got a high degree of friction. And, you know, when I say friction, this is really basic. You got to download an app, you've got to enroll, you've got to fill out your profile, you've got to add a debit or credit card, and then you got to remember to use it. So if you think about it, if you zoom out, loyalty is a lot like running a loyalty program is a lot like running a race, right? You got to run around the track, make a purchase, and only make it to the finish do you get a reward. But the problem with that race analogy is that traditional loyalty programs hurdles all the way around. You know, forget to use the app, forget your card, oops, you're out of the race, forget to print a coupon, forget, you know, I mean, so what you get at a result of this is that the number one challenge for QSRs is pretty direct. It's to get users to download the app. But even when they do download it to their phone, research has shown that the average app loses about 95% of its active users within the first 90 days of a download. And what's, I think, even more lethal is that within a year, 54% of loyalty memberships just fade to black. they go completely inactive. And that's really brutal because, you know, you've got, if you take a look at your top five, you know, QSR programs, Starbucks, Dunkin', McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, I think Sonic's number five, you know, they've got huge programs out there and they spend a lot of money on these because they really want to get people involved. And why? It's no secret. If you have a regular loyal customer, you'll get 11%, it requires 11 times more money to recruit a new customer than it does to retain an existing one. And so even though there are all these problems, you've got high churn, most of the apps only have single digit participation. I think I saw a study from Deloitte recently that said only 15% of QSR users even download an app to begin with. And then you take a look at the churn, people, you know, just not using the app or forgetting to use it. But still, all the QSRs are really focused on getting these people to drive the app experience. You know, last year I noticed that Burger King announced customers can sign up. If you sign up with the app, you get a subscription service, and for $5 a month, you can get a cup of coffee. You know, McDonald's uses a number of promo strategies to try and get people to adopt the app and keep using it. It's a mix and match, like $2, you know, two items for $5, things like that. And Chick-fil-A is, you know, they've got a very loyal base. And traditionally, when they open a new location, they really throw a ton of marketing support behind it. And what they do is they offer their first 100 customers through the door, basically, you know, free sandwiches for the course of a year. And obviously, in the case of social distancing, you can't have people in long lines. And what they've done is that they've now run a program where they've got the first 100 camp out. So this is a socially distanced twist on their play of the first 100, where they try to get 100 or more people camped out socially distanced in their parking lots prior to the opening of a new location. So I think the bottom line is traditional loyalty programs are expensive. They've got a lot of friction built into them by design, and they've got a lot of high churn with mixed financial gains. But still, and the pandemic has really created an entirely new range of challenges for QSR marketing teams, but they're not disappearing anytime soon. And in fact, people are really trying to get these things. They think it's a holy grail in terms of driving revenue.
And that's right, Tom. I think, so that's a good description, as you were talking about all the apps that are out there. I know, it's really app overload. And I know on my smartphone, I'm running out of real estate for apps because I think that, every QSR has one, fast casual restaurants, and there's definitely a proliferation of them. And it takes a lot to keep up with them, the varying contests and the rules and the deadlines and so on. And you're right that there's a high churn rate. I know many QSRs look at a 90-day window, and that's how they measure themselves. And the churn rates are really very high. You really need to address right now. Think of us as consumers. We want convenience and immediacy. And that applies to loyalty and is out there that consumers and diners and good customers at any restaurants or any or brick and mortar, they can be brought into the loop a lot easier and not really have to be able to keep up with all the different mobile apps that are out there right now. So I think that's the direction that we're heading in.
Yeah, Ray, you know, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the big challenges is that even though we've got the apps and it's got a lot of potential in terms of a platform, you know, ease of use, you're able to also track, you know, people's behaviors, their buying preferences, you know, time of day, frequency, there's a lot of data that can be leveraged there. But I also think that there's a real challenge on the side of the promotions piece of it, because I think that, to your point, in an era when everybody's got a loyalty app, the consumers have just become a lot more savvier, you know, because they're bombarded with reward options from just about every business they transact with, you know, and I think that that the loyalty offer is what it comes down to. And unfortunately, I think a lot of QSR programs or a lot of loyalty programs in general aren't really about loyalty per se, really recognizing and rewarding a customer's specific personal interest. It's really more about traffic drivers, you know, so well, you get $5 off your next 30 perks or something. It's the whole thing to come back in. And unfortunately, people see through that. They're not unsophisticated in this realm.
One more point to make. As I think through this, is that the varying mobile apps, they can generate a ton of emails, and it really kind of clogs up your email box. And they're really these e-marketing programs that go beyond, I think, what you originally sign up for, and that's to get some good deals at your favorite QSRs.
Yeah, I think, Ray, it's a great point. And on top of that, I think, what we need to do is take a couple of steps back and ask yourself, what is loyalty anyway? And if you're a consumer, I think on any level, and you go back to, maybe like, our parents when technology didn't dominate the landscape and relationships were a little more personal. I mean, loyalty is really, it's about being known as a customer. It's about being valued. It's about being understand what your own personal preferences are and having a merchant acknowledge, affirm and reward them. And I think one of the big problems just in QSR loyalty marketing today is that, as I was saying, a lot of these promotions are really generic and they're not particularly aligned with a consumer's personal preferences. So imagine if you're a vegetarian and you get a promotion for a hamburger. I mean, that's off-putting to say the least. And to my mind, I think the ability to provide the ability to provide targeted offers, such as unique content or personalized product offers or recommendations, delivered when a customer is in the restaurant, not via email a couple of days later or something. I think that's really another vital component for increasing engagement and loyalty.
Yeah, and I certainly think that's an extremely valid point, right? Because earlier, Tom, you had pointed out that I think it was 95% of all apps lose their users within the first 90 days. And I really think that speaks to the points that you and Ray were both making in that the technology aspect itself has certainly been there, but it really kind of comes down to, well, what's the value that certain application or that loyalty program is actually providing? Is it just a generic marketing platform for that QSR? Well, if it is, people have built up the filters of this. I mean, this, like I've said, the technology has certainly been around for a long time. And I mean, if you kind of think of just like email itself, right? I mean, when email first came out, everybody read every single email that came through on their inbox because they go, oh wow, this is a great platform for me to be able to exchange information and ideas across here. But then as time went on and more things that went across the platform that didn't add value, that weren't specifically tailored towards that individual, filters start to be built up within that the person that's consuming that content here. And that's the same thing that you're seeing with applications and loyalty applications. Tom, you had pointed out that, a lot of QSRs have applications that encourage users to download those applications. But one of the problems is that consumers start to get hesitant about downloading it because to the point that Ray made is like, okay, are they going to send me an email every single other day that of things that really I'm just not interested in? So, and I know that you kind of touched upon this a little bit, Tom, but I want to go into a little bit deeper of it around here, because as I said, obviously the loyalty technology continues to really evolve, from that punch cards to kind of the cards themselves to then the applications across it, and there's really now kind of those multiple channels and touch points here that a QSR has access to or ways to be able to engage with their consumers. But what about that role of the promotion itself, and how important is it for the overall success of the program?
Ryan, that's a terrific point. Thanks. I think that to my mind, and especially us at LedgerPay, we really see that the ability to engage a consumer while they are in one of your channels. In this case, we're really focusing on brick and mortar because, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that if you're not, even if you're using the app or if you're not, the problem is that most QSRs have relatively low single digits. So if you do some basic math and you say, well, 15% of per that Deloitte study, 15% of QSR users download an app, only 15%, 95% of those are dead. you know, within 90 days, and then you've got a 50-something percent, 54% churn over the course of next year. I mean, all of a sudden, the QSRs now have a big problem here because they've got effectively a north of 96% blind spot to what the majority of their customers are doing. So when they're eating, what they're eating, how they like to eat, you know, things like that. And to our mind, I think that being able to, the key for loyalty is to really be able to engage the consumer while they are in the act of dining, you know, or purchasing their meal, in a way that's really relevant to them. So, you know, I think that, you know, as I mentioned before, generic promotion delivered by mail or email a week or two after you've been in a QSR has really a small chance of being used. And I think that ability to tailor that program is really incredible. And I think that, you know, as long as they're being used, not abandoned, the use of apps creates a huge opportunity for marketeers and QSRs to gather and leverage data from various channels to target their customers better, right? But the problem is that A, you know, you've got fewer people using the apps, and restaurant chains generally struggle with organizing and leveraging that data in a meaningful way to develop relevant promotions. And I think that's a big issue that needs to be addressed in this market. And, you know, at LedgerPay, what we believe is that true lasting customer loyalty needs to be earned rather than bought, you know? And what QSRs really need is a solution that reduces friction and enables promotions that engage a customer in a personalized way while they're in the act of dining, that creates a new dimension to the experience. That's what becomes memorable and ultimately drives loyalty. And that goes back to what I said at the top of this, which is, you know, what is loyalty? I mean, it's really to be known, it's to be recognized, it's to be valued, and it's to be treated in a way that aligns with your personal preferences.
Exactly, Tom. You know, it's a crowded field. I mean, when you think about it, all the QSRs that are out there, and with competing offers and different apps and consumers, it's an in the moment type experience. Often spur of the moment. People are driving, you know, down a road, a street, a busy commercial area, and boy, there might be five or six different QSRs on either side of the street to choose from. So it's so important when a QSR gets the customer there to order, that's the exact moment that you need to give them an offer that's appealing. And again, one that's personalized and geared, you know, to their past purchases, ideally. So that's not a situation for that quick stop a consumer makes to, you know, figure that they're going to get on the right app at the right time. So it has to be done in the immediacy of the moment. And I think that's part of the success factor to loyalty programs.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, keen insight as always, but that's, to me, that's sort of like the last mile here. You know, we've got the technology, people have got phones, but I think the combination of the friction of downloading and organizing and then remembering to use the app as a predicator, and then the high churn, even though it seems like the holy grail, the actual use case in the real world is relatively limited. And even in spite of that, you know, I think one of the things that could maybe overcome that is the ability to deliver these personalized promotions that were actually meaningful. And that's the one of the big problems here in terms of advancing this technology.
Yeah, and so I think we've really kind of covered like what the history of loyalty programs have been really for QSRs, you know, where we talked about the punch cards coming up to applications now. And then we've also kind of talked about, well, why is there such a high rate of churn within these applications? You would think with this new technology and more people adopting that technology that the loyalty programs themselves would have more success. And I think really kind of what it boils down to is that you need to have those specifically tailored promotions that really that really do add value to the end customer there, that really shows that, hey, you are paying attention to what the needs and wants are of the individual consumers, not kind of a buckshot approach of, hey, you know, like if you do this, everybody in our list, like they're going to get a free XYZ or percent off XYZ, when that particular product or service that you're offering doesn't apply to your entire consumer base. So then with that really being said then, and kind of covering off on that, Tom, I'd love to get then from your perspective of how specifically it is that LedgerPay approaches the challenges and offers QSRs a new way of driving customer engagement and loyalty.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, Ryan, for those in the audience who aren't familiar with LedgerPay, you know, we're a payments intelligence platform and data insights company. And what we do is we transform transaction data into seamless customer loyalty for brick and mortar merchants. And sort of our operating mission is what we want to do is help QSRs create loyalty at scale without a card or an app. And, you know, we've discussed how limited QSR loyalty programs really are, you know, and numbers vary. But, you know, if you're not one of those top five guys, Starbucks, Dunkin', you know, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, it's typically in the low single digits, right? And as I mentioned, that leaves QSRs with a massive blind spot to the behaviors and the preferences of the majority of their customers, you know, who are brick and mortar users. But we've got a solution called Payments Intelligence, and that changes this game because we sit effectively at the heart of the payments flow. And as a result, we have the unique ability to securely and anonymously see every detail of every transaction by every customer. And what we can do then is that enables us to extract rich, individualized purchasing data that QSRs have never been able to link together in a scientifically accurate way. So let me give you an example. You know, let's say we have a customer called Bob, and he may visit the QSR that he's a member of the loyalty program of maybe three, maybe four times any week. And this might be stopping for coffee on the way to work, or, you know, popping out for lunch or a snack, or grabbing dinner on the way home after a long day. And Bob, you know, uses his debit card for all his purchases. So, but if he's in a forget, is in a rush, doesn't remember to use his app or his personal identifier, the QSR has no visibility to what Bob is actually doing, what time of day he's doing, what he's purchasing, or even how many times he comes in. But our payments intelligence solution, you know, what we do is we capture that individual anonymized purchase behavior and we link it to every specific debit or credit card. There's no enrollment, no identifier, right? We simply link line item purchases to a card number in real time in the cloud. And, you know, I mean, we're all payments guys. We know tokenization is a common, well-proven payment security technology. But at LedgerPay, we've developed an entirely new way of extracting data from the token from every transaction right down to the line item purchase while still anonymizing the cardholder's identity, so we avoid any privacy issues there. And this capture of data and the intelligence that we surround it with in terms of the analytics is known as payments intelligence. So what we've done is we've transformed a commodity service of processing payment transactions into a strategic advantage for the QSR. So specifically, if a QSR is using LedgerPay's payments intelligence, you can now capture every single transaction, all line item data, assign it to a card, and over time, this builds a very detailed customer profile. And it's based on a customer's actual historical and real-time behaviors. And then what we do is we can help QSRs leverage this data to create and generate highly relevant marketing and promotional offers to individual customers based on exactly what they like to eat or drink. And even to the time of day, you know, we've got that level of granularity. And then they can use our proprietary promotions engine to deliver those promotions to the customer while they're actually standing there ordering their food in the restaurant. So it's real-time engagement based on previous personalized purchase histories, right? And the ability to deliver these promotions in real time changes the dining experience, right? And I think it offers QSRs an entirely new level of engagement and makes them, like I said about loyalty, it makes them feel known and valued, which is the heart of any customer's loyalty to a business.
That's right, Tom. Merchants and restaurants, actually, for that matter, that we deal with at Mercator, they love really the data analytics now that's available, thinking about how much data comes through a payments transaction. So to be able to leverage that into usable customer intelligence just is a very powerful tool. And consumers love that personalization. It's that one-to-one marketing that I enjoy a particular meal or beverage because I bought it over the app. And that's great that I'm recognized for that, and I'm able to enjoy that on a very personalized made. And also that it's in the moment. You know, it's not something that comes to me a week later or something like that. So the combination of the analytics and the intelligence really goes a long way for QSRs, and they're going to keep and engage their loyal customers.
You know, Ray, I couldn't agree more. I think that one of the things that any marketeer always seeks to do is try to create an experience for their customers that effectively sort of surprises and delights them. You know, and that's where you start to build a deeper emotional bond, and that's where loyalty, long-term loyalty, comes out of. And so, to the way we look at it, the ability to really use technology and a scientific methodology to be able to show that we can prove lift scientifically, we can prove engagement, we can prove lift by engaging the consumer in real time while they were in the act of ordering and dining, and rewarding them in a way that's personal makes it a memorable experience. And that's something that I think has been really missing from the equation, and it's a softer element because it's really emotional. But at the end of the day, that's what we're really doing, is we're creating that level of connection between a QSR and its customer in real time that's going to drive lasting loyalty.
Excellent. Well, I think on that note, we'll wrap things up. So Tom and Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about QSR loyalty programs. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be with you, Tom.
Ray, a pleasure as always.